good afternoon and other Sunday afternoon. It's CRS Radio. This is Connie, your host from Jamaica. This is Jamaica Yard Vibes. And I have my special guest this afternoon, which will come on later, Claudette Wallace. And we're all Jamaicans. We would love to chat Jamaican this afternoon. And that song about the Aki, Golinstead Market, I used to love it as a child with Miss Lou. Remember, I used to hear it being played in Linstead and played all over. And my grandmother was from Linstead, so I had a grand time singing it. I know I used to have a saying that when people go to market, you know, first time you go to market, you couldn't touch the people them stuff, you know, because them say, you come feel up and you're not buying nothing. Go on, sir, lady. Guess what? Most times, you know, you have to feel your stuff because sometimes them have first right stuff or you want something to eat right away and nobody no rank and face the light. People, this is your Caribbean radio show, and if you guys want to call in to speak to my host or myself, you dial 661-467-2407. We're going to have a very interesting host or co-host this afternoon, Claudette Wallace, and she'll be joining us shortly. But before I go to Claudette, welcome, Claudette, to the show. I just want to remind us that we are having spikes of the coronavirus all over, especially in the United States. And Jamaica has been free so far, and we have had just 10 people that have been down with the corona that have passed. You know, we haven't had another spike or anything. Persons have come in and they've gone for treatment, and we're taking all precautionary measures here in Jamaica, because last weekend I was back Hanover side on that side of the coast, and we stayed at the Royalton Hotel, and let me tell you something, they were just opening back. They opened the Wednesday and we went the Thursday. And they're wearing a mask and following protocol. You spray every diner you go to, they would spray you and they would put out all stops. If you sit anywhere, they wipe as you leave, and they clear up and they do everything because everybody wants to live. So, you know, and while we're at it in this corona time here, persons are finding innovative ways of going about their business, living and doing their usual work, because we have to go out to work and we have to do it in a very safe way. I wish that persons would take this thing very seriously, because you have persons who think that it's a joke and it's a fake, it's a hoax. No, that's being very stupid. You know, you don't do things like that. You don't play with your life. That's the only gift that you have been given. So while we have life, there's hope of living, and hope of living it right. So my callers this afternoon, if anybody wants to call in, you are welcome to do so. But when you dial in and you listen, what you have to do, you have to press 1 on your keypad to speak to me. I would like to welcome Claudette, my special guest this afternoon, Claudette Wallace, a very warm, lovely lady. Good afternoon, Claudette. 321-208, press 1 to talk. Good afternoon, you're on the Caribbean Radio Show. You're live on the Caribbean Radio Show, press 1 to talk. 321-208, press 1 to talk. Oh, yes, that person is not ready as yet. 540-353, good afternoon. How are you?
I am very good.
Good afternoon.
How are you? Drop. All right. No, me here, yeah, top boat. Okay. My mouth just dropped wide open and run water for some ackee and sausage and roast bread.
Okay. Well, the song was singing about Aki, Carmi Aki Go Linstead Market. Do you know other ways of means of doing this Aki and sausage? You know what and what you can cook with Aki?
No, sir. I don't know Aki and sausage.
I'm gonna invite Claudette to tell you. Claudette, are you listening, Claudette? 321-208. Yes. We're talking about Aki and sausage. The song was introductory one.
Mm-hmm. Listen.
Yes.
You can put some chicken breast. Cut up some chicken
really?
breast. Yes, slice up the chicken breast and kind of cube them like.
Yes.
And you put them in, put them, wash it with the lemon first, and then you put it in
yes.
some salt water for like 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And then you
yes,
drain
yes.
it and dry them in paper towel. And then
mm-hmm.
you sprinkle a little black pepper over it. And you fry them brown and crisp.
Oh,
and then
sounds good.
You put in the condiments, you know, your
mm-hmm.
tomato, your onion, scallion, and then you cook it up. And then you put in your ackee, add your ackee to that.
Yes.
And then you put a little more, you add pepper to your taste and put a little more black pepper to the ackee. And that's
okay.
ackee and salt. That's ackee.
All right.
Ackee
right.
is a different food.
Fine.
Mm-hmm.
But did you know you could use red herring to do it as well? Simple red herring. You could also put a dash of the salt mackerel, red herring.
Mm-hmm.
For all of the pork lovers, you can use ham strips or bacon in there as well.
Mm-hmm.
Or for those who don't want to use any kind of meat, you can just use ackee. And cook it aside, and you do your condiments, right? And then you stir everything together, combine it. But, you know, one good way of avoiding that, you add sweet pepper, but you don't cook it down because some people cannot tolerate the taste of sweet pepper. They can't digest it. So what I do, I cube this sweet pepper and just turn off the stove and put it in and cover it and serve it. And that's also
mm-hmm.
good, you know?
Yeah.
So things that, you know, you have to turn your hand and make fashion. We're leading
exactly.
down to our Independence Week, you know. And I welcome you, Claudette, that is a Jamaican born bred woman. And Claudette, I'd like you to meet Dr. Ev. She's on the show as well. So you have Ev and Claudette. Yes.
Hi, Claudette. Lord have mercy. We can't wait to hear about the good Jamaica cooking and the good Jamaica life. Lord have mercy.
I'm so hungry to go home.
Let me tell you something. The thing about it, you know, sometimes we in a Jamaica, yeah, grow up, you know, boy. But at least me never think so me poor. I don't never have no shoes and all, no house and all and something. Me never think so
me
poor. But
never.
Life was
mm-hmm.
so sweet when you realize you're that foreign. All bulgur wheat where we usually eat and we think the bulgur wheat are cheap food. Up here now we can buy some bulgur wheat. Guys, too expensive.
Yeah. That is so true.
Yeah,
because we used to have them in school, primary school. We usually have it, the vulgar. I used to ask, my mother was a teacher, and I used to ask her to bring it home for me. I leave, can't imagine, from high school. I asked, come on, I asked, have they never cooked vulgar rice? And turned cornmeal,
yeah,
that's
yeah.
where I... Yes, the children
yeah.
used to be healthy. And then they used to do the stew, the saltfish stew with curry, and like gungu. They cook the gungu like just like you would be doing like a stew pea, but use gungu, dry
right.
gungu to, you know, yes, and
mm-hmm.
cook it down with saltfish and curry. And then they serve it
mm-hmm.
with the cornmeal, the turned cornmeal and the rice, man. And it was so nice. And in those days, they used to give children milk powder to take home. They used to look out for children.
Oh,
so
yes.
you have to want, yes. So we were well fed growing up. Yes.
And let me tell you something. St. Thomas people make a cornmeal and gungu peas with coconut milk. You think you're eating rice and peas. Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Don't eat fish.
Yeah.
Oh my.
I know the coconut milk tastes good. Yes.
Oh,
and
my father usually make the caramel to and put susumba in it.
I love susumba.
Oh my God, gully beans.
I love susumba, gully beans. Yes, my father used to cook with saltfish, gully beans
yes.
and saltfish.
And
yes.
it's nice with mackerel too.
And mackerel,
no.
it tastes good with mackerel.
Let me tell you something. You know what can shine a pot good? There's so some believe and some hashing.
Oh, yeah.
Jesus,
and,
Lord.
And some pumpkin leaf to pumpkin leaf and ashes.
Yeah.
We never use a pumpkin leaf yet. Boy, pumpkin leaf. That's a food. That's a food.
You can eat the pumpkin leaf?
Of course.
Tell me about that.
I want the sweetest food that.
You do that. You do it like Kalalo.
You steam it just like Kalalo. Just like
I am
Kalalo.
Going to try it.
Trust me.
I am going to try
Trust
it.
Trust me.
And it sounds like it would be good with coconut milk in there too. I am going to try
Lord
that.
Lord have mercy. The thing is so lovely. Let me tell you something. The thing about it, you know, just sitting here and talking about the life where we live in Jamaica, the way as a child growing up, think about the fact that the common sense, the turn your hand make fashion, as you say.
Yeah.
As a child, even turning your hand make fashion, what if we could not afford toys and so? And we use our creative geniusness. We make trucks, we make ball, we make every darn thing. And I think this, Jamaica, of a certain age, I think we are just far superior in skills, natural ability to survive. And I have to give thanks every single day because me are Jamaican and because the life where we live. I wouldn't change nothing
for
the life where I grew up in Jamaica.
Oh, you know something too? Talking about truck, whatever. There are some things that I had looked at where, you know, as a child, you can live your dream as a child and it come to reality. For instance,
oh, yes.
Claudette, would you like to talk about Jason and his truck?
Oh, yes.
The truck and the string and the butter pan cover.
And used to make up his own truck. And with his friends, I couldn't keep him in the house. He was always outside. You remember when he and Andre went on the bicycle and he fell on his chest? And he and Andre gets up and asked him, Jason, me dead yet, me dead?
What I do remember, that little boy always used to do a truck. And riding that truck with the steering, and I could see a little engineer. And he is now a big grown man, and he's an engineer driving a train. So that's why I said that you can live your dream.
Wow.
You can live your dream from small.
Yeah.
Because he was always driving a truck.
Yes. And he run the 3 miles and more freight train all over Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
You know, growing up in Jamaica is a special, you have the opportunity, and probably I'm thinking about Jamaica because I'm Jamaican and I understand how we grew up, but I'm thinking that most of the Caribbean have the same kind of dexterity, the same kind of sensibility and common sense. Because I went to Guyana years ago, and even in Cuba, I went to Cuba also, and see how, let's talk about motor vehicles, because in Cuba, you have some motor vehicle where people not even remember existed, and they are very much on the road. And it's because those ingeniousness that allow people to create parts, because remember, like in Cuba, you're going to get imports nor anything from the United States that most of these transportations come from. And these people create their own parts and are able to do, to keep these vehicles on the road. Also, because we are, I think there's a little saying that, hey, if you want something, I remember the exact thing, but in essence, it's like this. You create things because there's a need. When there's a need, the creativity comes about. And I think in Jamaica, so much things that we can do where we grew up as a child. We don't have no mama who would get up. Well, I mean, I guess more or less things kind of change. But when we grew up, fall down. Me not have my mom to say, oh, kiss, and keep it in them. Then you go and say, warm to your two piggy eyes in your head. You feel look where you walk,
So you don't know what, so you don't know what's the remedy for that. You don't know what the used to be the remedy for that. You beat up Spanish needle and you squeeze the juice on the toe. Or you, if you want to make it well set, you put salt with it and you tie it down a piece of white cloth. You just tear the cloth and tie it down. Tomorrow morning you get up, your toe dry.
But what I'm saying, not only with the medication, but to teach you in the United States, when your child get fall down, you get up and kiss away. Boom. You don't tell the child, hey, you are responsible for yourself.
Yes.
You're responsible to look out for yourself and make sure that your pathway is okay. Here in Jamaica, your mother will tell you, say, yeah, two big guy in your head. Look what happens next time.
they grow you with tough love, you know. They would grow you with really tough love.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And if you navigate our way out, you know.
Yes, it does. It really does. It helps to make you tough and to be a better person and to be self-reliant, and you're able to look out for yourself and others too. And it helps you further along in life when you realize that you have come up far. Because if you notice some of the kids who were cuddled when I was growing, all of them come out good. Big job and big shot them, and them come out good. So you're proud of them, and you're proud of the heart and the upbringing. Talking this and that about upbringing, what happened to the careers now? What happened to our farmers? Claudette, can you tell us a little bit about the plans that you have for farming down by Hanover side? I was there recently and I've never seen a more lush. It's in Westmoreland. I drove to Westmoreland coming back up to Hanover, and it's beautiful countryside. Okay. So tell us a little about the plans you have.
Well, about 5 years ago, I started with the pigs, and we did very well.
Right.
But now we kind of slow down. But then I put in bees. Mm-hmm. So as we speak, I have 4 boxes of bees. We just started a couple months now, 2 months.
Mm-hmm. And, okay.
You know, then
when you say 4 boxes. Hold on, before you go on to Westmoreland, when you say 4 boxes, I would think that, okay, it's 4 carton boxes with bottles of bees. Tell us about the boxes and how they're treated and how did you get honey. Because a lot of people don't know, we take honey for granted.
I started with 1 box. And that 1 box, 3 weeks after purchasing that 1 box, full with bees, the guy came back and split it in 2 because there were 2 much and 1. But they have they have the rock, individual rock in between them, like 6. And on top of those, they form the honeycomb, and they lay the eggs and they hatch. And you have some laying and some working.
Wow.
And the more plants and flowers you have, is the more bees, and the richer the bees, the honey is.
Oh. So about how many bees you would have in a stack? How many bees you would have on a rack? Can you count it or just
No, you can't count it. 1,000. If they swarm you, they cover you.
Wow. So how do they process it to get the honey out to put in bottles?
Well, they go around and get the bees work. They go around and they pollinate the flowers while flowers trees that you don't even think have blossoms, but they blossoms and the bees find them, and their job is to go back to their box. And then they pollinate there. And while they're pollinating back and forth, they form the honeycomb, and then they lay. Some laying, some working.
Wow.
And yes. And you know when the when another queen comes in, because when another queen comes into that box, that transfer to another box. But you have to sterilize the box with fever grass. Boil
up really?
And balsam. And you sterilize the box. Make sure no insect or anything. You have to do it with boil the fever grass and the balsam. And then you sterilize the box hot with the hot steaming boiling water. And when you sterilize the box, you use some fever grass and rub in there. And then it attracts the insect coming. Yeah.
Wow, that smell of the fever grass.
Yes.
It's amazing. So how do the men get to bottle the honey? You have to eat the, in the box, you said the honey is left in there?
When the bees work and the comb is set on the rock, because you check it. And when they're full, this is time for you to take the box down and remove the rocks and take the honeycomb off and put it into the container. And then you drain the honey from the comb.
Okay.
You drain the honey from the container that it's supposed to go through.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be sterilized also with the strainer on it. It have the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
So you just the honeycomb and then it drain. And when they finish draining,
because I always wonder.
You lock the drum.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing? That's so amazing and innovative of men to think of something like that. And honey is so good for all different sort of ailments. So very good. For the common cold. Yes. Another, the sweetener, for everything. You know, it's so very good. There's so many uses.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Nothing like the pure honey.
Yes. I wish if more people of our young people out here would go in nursing, because there it is now. You're in nursing. You live overseas. You're in nursing. And a lot of persons who live overseas can think of things to do out here. You know, they come home, they look around and they set up themselves and they'll buy a piece of land and check out the farming facility, how they can go about it and put the money to work and get good people to work, of course. Good, honest, reliable people, and
you can lease
and people
land
who
you can lease land.
Yes, I know. But some people want to come and buy and live. Who want to return? But I know leasing is very cheap because up in the country they do that. I can't, and I don't understand why a lot of young boys refuse to go into the fields and work, because there's so much you can do out there, so much, because right now I don't think we are importing as much, because a lot of people are doing their own farming, you know, and that's what we really need to do that. You know, I don't know what it is all about, because they're idle. A lot of them they turn to robbery, and that's not good. People need to cry out about that. They need to cry out. I mean, mothers need to take... I don't know. The politicians, they need to do something and pass some rule that if you're not working or whatever, put something for like agriculture into schools. Because I remember when I was growing up, they had an agriculture farm, college, where they used to go and they had farming and all sort of stuff. But not being done Cobbler because they don't want to do it.
Remember Cobbler camp?
Cobbler. They had Cobbler. Yes. Yeah. And not
and
Culver. They had Culver. Yeah.
All the young men went there and learned skills, life skills.
Yeah.
Them till today.
Yes, they need to have the golden touch. I'm going to take a break and play something nice for you. Golden
touch. Don't come on the shine. It's vacant in the style. All night to
Well, that was just a little music for you for the time. So I'm back with you guys now. So what do you think, how do you think we can turn around this, get these people to stop wasting time? And when are they going to ever realize that we need to be self-sufficient instead of turning to other countries to do, to rely on them for food, simple thing like food? We need to be planting. What do you think? How on earth can we sensitize them to this? Because they have us big, strong men going around begging, and they don't have any idea of what it is like to go and work hard for your money, and they turn around and they try and rob you. How can we get them to do farming?
I think I have an issue with you, Queen Connie. I don't know why you're talking about men as farmer, because from a 3 year old man,
woman. Exactly. So when is the woman doing it? You're right. Because here it is, we have Claudette doing our farming, and we have other ladies doing their farming as well, professionals who are doing the farming. And so I'm trying to say, why is it that the women must know how to do whatever and can do whatever? And you have these big, staring men who don't want to do it. And they're supposed to have the physical strength.
What needs to be done? We have had that in the 80s.
Yeah.
We talk about leadership. You can't have farm without tools and without land. So in the 80s, the late 70s, 80s, when Michael Manley kind of took back our country and sensitized us to being self-sufficient, we were producing every single thing till we were at a surplus. But the leaders at that time, they gave the tools, the agriculture department, extension would go out in the community. They provide training. Also, they provide seeds and education. But most of all, they provided the land in order for folks to farm. Until we can have leadership that understand what it means to be self-sufficient. We don't have a agrarian society that will, and of course, still a lot of the younger people, the society being influenced so much by the United States and packaged food and plastic food.
Yes, plastic food.
It's all for us. And supermarket, because a lot of people believe that even the United States here, people don't know that food grow on tree. They think it grows in the supermarket, and you may think that is as real as I'm talking to you. They don't know how food grows. They've never seen a farm. They've never grown a tomato. They've never grown anything. They think that food grows in the supermarket.
So can you imagine?
I think we have to reintroduce our society, as you were saying. When I grew up, we had home economics, and we had Fridays, and we had the farming. We had farming as well. So until we have this introduced back into the schools, we're not going to understand the value of that.
That's what we were having a conversation, you know, about. Some classmates and myself, we're trying to reintroduce that sort of thing in school, because not everybody can manage academically, like, you know, to, you know,
so they have
sciences and all of that.
Right.
That's right. Yeah.
But why do we have to separate them? You can be the biggest engineer in the world, and you are still a farmer. No matter where in the world I go, I'm a farmer first.
I agree with you.
camera.
Oh goodness.
You have a festival there going on. You have a festival there going on.
I have a festival. There's a festival going on here, a pre-festival, pre-independence festival. Bicycle riding and sun beaching and all sorts of stuff. You can't stop it. It's like little monkeys all over and clowning around. No matter how far away you think you're locked away, it never stops. My goodness. No! I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. All those tea sound quiet. And I just don't know what happened. Anyway, I'm telling you, we need to do this, be serious about farming. I see quite a bit of people doing it, you know. They are really interested. Government needs they were advertising before that they have land that they'll be leasing for farmers as soon as the COVID passes. But people have started to prepare their land, and they're planting. They're getting very serious about it. Very, very serious. Yes. Every other person here, they're going to do it.
Like
you know?
Doctor said that you can be an engineer and be a farmer. Suppose you see the 10-pound and 12-pound watermelon them that Jason gets out of their garden.
Down in Texas?
Lord.
Wow,
in Texas and,
wow.
And
listen now, Claudette. Listen to.
I just come in from my farm, and I have right inside of my car now because I haven't gotten in my house. I have 4 cabbages, and each one of them weigh more than 15 pounds. More than
just
15 pounds. I'm eating some cherry tomatoes. So if you hear me, like me, I eat some cherry tomatoes. I'm just quite down out of my farm. So,
those are nice.
Vegetables, they get onion, scallion, thyme. My daughter-in-law made chicken soup the other day. And every bit of the condiments came from the farm. From the garden.
Right there in Florida, backyard.
They're giving away the squash, them, the watermelon, them. It's too much for them.
Yes,
wow.
Yeah.
And it's one evening, Jason called me, you know, and said, Mom, don't you think it would be a good idea for me to do, to make a box and get some dirt and start doing our own gardening that the children are home? And
they are going to do it.
And if you see what they produce,
I am sure. I'm sure they're going to do good with it.
Cucumbers.
My God. When they farm, you become a different person as a farmer.
Oh yes.
I think with child, there is something when you can get out and put something in the soil and see it bear fruit, and not only fruit that you can partake of, but more importantly, something that you can share with somebody else. It is the most beautiful thing in the world, I figure. I remember growing up in Jamaica, because the most thing you have is your little farm. And
yes.
The two things I'm going to mention is that the first of all our roast Michel banana, we never get it to eat as the children are in the house. My mother and father, they always call somebody name on them 13 hands of roast Michel banana. You guys know that roast Michel is the queens of banana.
Nice.
And
yes. Yes.
Always given away. That is given away. Those pretty roast Michel is given away. And you learn that from a youth coming up, that your best thing, you have to present it. Absolutely.
Yes. You give the best.
My dad, My dad alone, one thing I've learned more than anything else is getting your own seed bank. I'm of a certain age, and my father, I know I've kept a seed bank from as long as I can remember. And I don't go anywhere without my seed bank. I don't have lipstick in my bag. I have a seed bank in my bag. So I carry a little bottle with certain amount of seed always, just in case I am somewhere that I will never go back home. I can create my farm from where I am. I was serving in Cayman, Puerto Rico, about a year and a half, 2 years now. And I gathered all of the seeds that I could get in Puerto Rico, and I came and I had some cocoa pumpkin that I gave to my, you know, different friends in different states, and catching certain, what would I call it, breed. But you must always have a seed bank. And I learned to have a seed bank from my father over 60 odd years ago. And now I'm hearing, like, you know, countries are having seed banks. This is what my father used to do more than 60 years ago. And you have to have a seed bank.
I put it in the a container, plastic container. Mm-hmm. I mix them up and watch them dry. So I'm going to take them somewhere, you know, people who have their home and nice backyard, and even sow it in open area.
Right.
So they'll grow. They'll grow.
You can even put it in a box.
Yes.
Try and plant something. Because you should, you know, I was thinking to myself, remember when we were in Jamaica, we had real life. You go outside, you eat a mango, you eat some genep, you eat the cherry tree, you eat an orange, you go outside and you poop in the bush. Some of that seed go in the bush, and a tree go out there. You see out there, which is the good nitrogen that you get, and one of the most beautiful things, if you have your coconut and all of them, you just use the pea farming, and pea farming is the most positive thing. People who are healthy throw away them peas rather than use it for them farm. Well, the more organic thing is pea farming is going on now. So if we are able to out there throw a seed somewhere else that somebody can eat, can you imagine how the world would be? We wouldn't be starving.
Do you know something? Let me tell you something. Our animal has been blessed with so much
blessed.
Rich culture, nice, lush countryside, because as I told you, I drove up through Hanover, Montego Bay, and come up, and it was a pleasure. I have discovered that shoreline is the longest shoreline in Jamaica. Driving from Negril to Montego Bay, back into Trelawney, a bit of St. Anne's Bay to come up into Kingston. And it's really, really, really beautiful. We really should look at this rich legacy that we have been left, you know, by our foreparents, because they worked very hard in the country as slaves. Prior to that, and they, although whilst they were slaves, I believe they did enjoy a bitter life, because we have been left with a rich set of folklores, songs, and all of that. So, which, you know, we're going into independence next week, so we should look for a rich collection of songs to sing. Nice, long time girl, me never see, and them kind of something there. Now, we got our independence in 1962, and Mr. Manley, he led us through a whole lot. He took us out of a whole lot, I must say, because I remember when women in Jamaica, they were not allowed to work while being pregnant. They weren't allowed to go off and be paid a salary, and it was a disgrace to have a child out of wedlock. You were considered to be a bastard. Mike and Manley changed all of that. And no matter where you're from, whether JLP or PNP, we should never forget the kindness and the things that he fought for. Because that was one of the things that stood out, and no bastardy again, and equal rights for women, equal rights in pay for women. So, you know, people are acting as if they don't remember that legacy coming down from the PNP side of things. I'm not preaching politics, but they ought to, whether it's PNP or JLP, should always remember that. And keep it in the back of the head and rub it in at each go and call up his name. Whether PNP or JLP should always remind the nation of these kind of things. You know, we're running out of time. And I'm going to tell you thanks a lot, Claudette. But before you go, I always invite Dr. F to tell us about our plan for our people, the scholarships that they give every year to our students and to encourage them. So I would like her to tell the nation, tell people what we are about, what she's about, really, on this program here.
Thank you so much, Miss Connie, for always inviting me to come on your show. It's a pleasure. And for all of you listeners out there, we just talked about the legacy we got. I'm a little barefoot child from Jamaica who climbed every possible tree in Jamaica, sell Asian selfish from Bogwalk Road. And it is the proudest and the strongest of me doing what I can. Still a barefoot girl, no matter how much degree or no matter what I have. Who I am is because I'm a Jamaican. And I always believe that one girl is selling Akia breadfruit, the Bogwalk Road. All they need is just resources. Part of that resources comes Palace, www.palace1.org. There's a young girl, there's a young boy streaming in Jamaica. Just need your help. Not $1 million, though that would be so well appreciated, but just about little change. Because the little change that you put in the organization, if all of us put our little one penny, it would be a massive help. We talk about we love Jamaica, but I think we can really stop thinking in words and do more in action. Some of the most prolific people in the world, some of the most, when you talk about there is no corner on this earth that you don't have a Jamaica striving and making a headway. The possibility that we will have the first woman president maybe in the next 4 years after this 4 years is a possibility that we can have a Jamaican lineage that is going to be walking in the White House. There is so much that we have. There is so much that we have in Jamaica. We are a unique set of human beings. But the one thing that we don't have is resources. And those of us who are in a position, and you don't have to be in a big, big position, you know. I'm not talking about $1 or $2, because that's what really makes it go. You can only give what you can. And this is why I'm asking you, if you're a Jamaican, if your friends are Jamaican, if you understand what it is to help and to help somebody realize their dream, you've come to the right place. www.palace1.org. This is our 10th year, and this wonderful organization was started by none other than Mr. Rula Brown, one of the music you just heard here from him as well. Out of the tragedy of a young girl that was mutilated over in the across the water. So hence the Peace and Love Academic Scholarship. To date, we have 691 scholarships. We have had so many physicians. We have had so many doctors. We have had so many people or young students who, because of Palace, had an opportunity to move forward with their dreams. We're trying to reach out to you, all of you, wherever you are.
you have churches and organizations, and a lot of you would like to give. This is a 501c nonprofit organization, so that means all of your donations can be tax deductible. So there is no excuse for that one. Please go to the page. Show your love for Jamaica, but show your love for your heritage, and show your love for the humanities of all your brothers and sisters who are in Jamaica, thriving, just waiting for your help. Don't leave them now. Go to www.palas1.org. And you'll be able to see the work that has been done for the over 10 years. Thank you so much, Tommy. I'm just sorry to hear you.
Yes, and as I always love to say, I'd love to say about that glass of milk, giving it forward. You may give it forward. That young man came to, he was hungry, selling his wares, and he stopped at a door to beg some food, but he saw a beautiful girl. So he was ashamed, so he asked for a glass of milk. But she saw that he was very hungry. A glass of water. She saw that he was very hungry and took a glass of milk to him. Several years passed, and she got older and sick. She went to the hospital and had to do a surgery. She couldn't afford to do it, and she cried, saying that she couldn't. So a young man came and took over from that situation and said, "Don't worry, your thing will be taken care of." She did her surgery, and when she saw the bill, she said she couldn't manage. But he said, he wrote on her bill, "Paid in full with a glass of milk." When she looked, she realized it was a young man that she had helped. There's also a story of an old man, you know, a young girl and her father went to the supermarket. It was granddad's birthday and they couldn't afford it. So they put it back. They put back everything and very ashamed and they left. But a young man ran after them and said, "Here is the cake for your grandfather." And they were thankful and said, "But you don't know us." And he told them the story and said, "You know, years ago when we were very poor, we didn't have food. My mother and I went to supermarket and I couldn't afford to buy the cake. And a young man, black man, bought this cake for me and said, 'Pay it forward.' Written on it, four letters, said, 'Pay it forward.' He kept it in his pocket all those years. And, you know, when this guy here went to the supermarket, he got this piece of paper in his hand and took it home. "Grandpa, here's your cake." And he was sad and crying. And she said, "Why are you crying?" And he said, "Because I'm sad, you know. I've lived for 74 years and I have not made an impact on anybody's life." And the son said, "Don't say that, Dad. And he said, "How did you get that food today?" And he said, "A man gave it to me, and this is what he gave me." It was the same piece of note that he had told a young man many years ago and gave it to that little boy to pay it forward. When he opened it and looked at it, he remembered instantly that he had really made an impact. If he had not done that, somebody would not have been touched to buy him a cake. I mean, that guy would not have been touched at the right time to buy that cake for him, to cheer him up and to give him hope to know that, yes, you have done well in your life. So we just have to be our brother's keepers, I always love to say, and give it forward. Do what you have to do, you know, because one cocoa full basket, and there are many, many, many Jamaicans all over the globe. I won't be surprised if a Jamaican don't end up in the moon when the next set of astronauts going up. We're all over. We are the milk in the coffee, and you're successful people. Every look you look, you see a Jamaican making big news. So there was a story of the young girl who used to walk from wherever in St. Angelo to her waitressing job. She's now a big, big doctor of whatever now in the States, a big recognized person.
Neuroplastic.
So what I'm saying is that we all, come on, man, we have lots of people. I don't know how else we can put us to let people be sensitized to this, to know that they need to share. We need to share and give back to help our children, no? want to have your country lifted up. You don't want a set of criminals out here, and you don't want poverty. We're bigger than that. So, got it. I want to thank you so very much for coming again. I thank you, and you're always welcome to this show. And I'm inviting you back this Sunday to listen to Let's Talk Jamaican and Oldies and all sort of thing. We're going to play music and have a nice time. You're also invited to listen to our show this afternoon, musical serenade this afternoon, 7:30. So thank you, Dr. M, for coming once again. It was a lovely show. And thank you. What more can I say? Thank you so much for coming. So let me send you out with a picture on the wall, okay? Okay, guys. Talk to you later.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, Claudette.
Does it have to be there?